the 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch, just like it is every Wednesday when we have Brian Blagg on, begins now. God, he is good. He's such a smart guy. That is so much fun. Thanks to Corey Lindsley for joining us. Him and his mustache, even if we lost the video connection and struggled with that. I am curious about one thing you said, and then we'll try and get back on the clock here. The idea of being a rookie who is, I don't want to use the word subservient, one who gets it, who knows he's going to have to bring you your chewing tobacco or your coffee order or whatever else it was. That's how that works in that room. It's not harsh hazing. You're not being duct taped to a goalpost or anything like that. But you do have to deliver various snacks and whatever else to the lock, to the offensive line meeting room. But what is the challenge of being a, because you went through it in 2010, right? You were the big bonus baby, first round pick. What's the challenge of assimilating to that room? Because having sat in it for a story in 2003, which remains my all-time favorite story, and listening to Flanagan and Mike Wall and Marco Rivera and Tausch and Cliffy and the five of them getting after each other, like, that is a room unlike any other in probably sports completely, not just football, the dynamic in there.
Yeah. And, well, that's, to me, the biggest thing is, like, you want to be part of the group, and you want to make sure that as a young guy, like, you fit into the group as quick as possible, because you know the guys that are in that room already have a really close bond, because that is O-line rooms. That's just how they are, right? And you, if you're going to be a mainstay in that room, if you're going to be a starter in that room, you have to have a close relationship with those guys. And if you come into that room and you have a big ego and you think you're better than everyone, you're going to find your way out that door really quick. And they're gonna make sure you're out of there really quick. They're not gonna take that. Like, the, you got to check your ego at the door. You have to be willing to accept you're the low man on the totem pole, no matter what round you got picked. And I got picked in the first round. I went in there I behaved like I was a free agent, and that's how my mindset was. Yeah, I knew, I understood what round I got drafted in, but I shut my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I listened. I did what I was asked. Did I like doing what I was asked all the time? No, I did not enjoy it. But when I was asked to do something, I did it. Like, and that was just the way I looked at it. Because I didn't want guys to respect me because I did them what they asked me to do. I wanted guys to respect me based on my play and what I did on the field and how I worked. That's what I wanted. So, like, that was the way I went about my, you know, work on the field and how I practiced and how I played. But I certainly didn't want guys to think about me in a certain way because I was, like, defiant in a meeting room and told guys to go pound sand when they asked for coffee or they wanted a certain chew or they wanted this flavor of, you know, Skol, or and I didn't get it. Like, that to me is, like, you're being petty, right? Like everyone has done that. Every rookie has wanted this, or if they wanted, you know, for the airplane ride, you had to get lunch and a guy wanted a certain thing and you got him something completely opposite. Like, that's just being defiant. Like, why are you doing that? Like, just, everyone's had to do it. Just do it. And like, don't be that guy. Like, and that was the way I looked at it. Like, no, nobody wants to do it. It's not fun, but just be, it's for 1 year. It's for 1 year. It really sucks, but you just got to get through it. And that's really the way I looked at it, right? And it wasn't and guys end up respecting you a lot more, not just for your play on the field, because obviously, you know, when Tausch got hurt, I'm not saying guys let up on me once I started to, like, start. They didn't let up on me, but they like, it wasn't as egregious. We'll just put it that way, because they understood my responsibility level went up. Like, they were like, all right, like, he also has to, like, get ready to start games and, like, study as a starter. And we can't be having him, like, you know, do crazy things that he was doing during training camp. Like, you know, he was second string in camp, and now he's getting ready to like. So I was still doing everything, but it wasn't as egregious. But you want
so Marshall. So Marshall Newhouse then had to do more because he was the other offensive lineman rookie in your class.
He was, and Marshall and I we split duties. I mean, I did a lot. I mean, I took on a lot more of the responsibilities, regardless.
Right.
But Marshall helped me a lot. Marshall did help me out a bunch with certain things. Like he and I would rotate on who would pick up the plane ride food. But like I would, you know, and who bought that. But like all like the chew and stuff of the room, like I did like all the room stuff. I did all that. I bought all that. But like that stuff, he and I would rotate on. Like and just think like small things like that. Marshall was good too. Marshall was a little defiant. He was a little defiant, but that was Marshall in general.
Yes.
That was Marshall in general. That was Marshall just in general. Like Marshall was awesome, but that was just how he was in general. But like that's okay.
But that's awesome.
It was just, but like you just kind of have to go into it understanding that like you're low man on the totem pole,
right?
Right, like you are, and the minute you accept that, the easier it's going to be. And
yeah, if we could just get Jesse to accept that on our show. All right, so he's been here for like 6 years now. He still hasn't accepted it. All right, we need to get ready for Homer. He's going to join us still because he doesn't want to miss an opportunity to be on the air with the great Brian Bulaga. You don't want to miss this opportunity. Look, I know you've been hearing me talk about this a lot, but I'm really, really excited about it. As I've told you, I've never even left North America. So if you've ever considered a trip to England, Scotland, Wales, the whole Great Britain deal, now's the time to do it. It's going to be really fun. I'm extremely excited to be doing this with Colette. We're going to leave on July 5th, but we got to make some decisions here coming up. And if you want more information, it's very easy to get. You can either text the word travel to 844-770-3776, or you can go to ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com. There you'll get full details, plus information about our meet and greet next Tuesday at Buck and Honey's in Monona, where you can get further information, and I'll be there, and we know how great the food is there. But again, I've been telling you this for a while. We're going to hit all the great things about Great Britain. We're going to hit the charm of the countryside, the history of the great cities. We're going to see Big Ben. We're going to see Edinburgh Castle, and I'm going to learn how to pronounce it before we go. We're going to see Chester and Shakespeare's Stratford-upon-Avon, all things that I've wanted to see, the medieval city of York, all the landmarks, the iconic landmarks, the cozy villages, the bustling city streets, the peaceful countryside views, everything that you want to experience when it comes to Britain's history, culture, and beauty. We're going to do all those things and create some really fun memories that are going to last a lifetime for me and for you and for Paula and the girls. We can't wait to do it. So again, text TRAVEL, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, or go to ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com to find out more about our trip with Colette. All right. We need to hit another quick segment before we join Homer. We're already late for him. You know he gets grumpy when we do that to him. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We have some breaking news from the National Football League. Brian Bulaga, who will turn 37 in March, is that right?
Yep.
I'm not saying that you could have played longer, but there's a dude that just signed with the Denver Broncos that you played with that's older than you by like 4 years. Mercedes Lewis continuing his NFL career, signing with the Broncos practice squad as a precursor to him joining the roster. You played with him in 18 and 19, right? That would have been when you were with him? Mike's
yes,
last
so.
Year, LaFleur's first year. Briefly, so we can get to Homer, Your recollections about playing with him, because my favorite Mercedes Lewis story is that LaFleur referenced him and liked him so much that the assistant coaches, as a joke gift, got him a Mercedes Lewis jersey because he talked about him so much.
Yeah, phenomenal guy, great leader, great football player too. Like, felt like he was. I mean, obviously, every tight end wants to be like a pass catcher and score touchdowns and things like that. But he was so selfless. He loved being next to the linemen. He felt like he was one of the linemen. He blocked. He was super prideful in that. Like, he wanted to be like one of the guys in the trenches. Like, he took a lot of pride in that job. Like, he was very good at it too. He's super physical. Nasty in the trenches. Like, that was his gig, man. He was very good at it. And I loved like combo blocking with that guy, because you knew he was moving people off the ball for you. You could count on him every time you were combo blocking with Mercedes. Like, he was that type of guy. So, like, phenomenal football player and great leader, great guy. I got nothing but positive things to say about Mercedes Lewis. Like, just phenomenal dude.
Well, and I know my buddy Wes Hodkowitz is a huge fan of him, and now the Packers and Wes will get to see him because they do have the Broncos on the schedule later in the year. All right, we've got Homer on our schedule, but we can't go to him until I tell you about Lakeland Supply. Vince and his team have been awesome. It's been great to be partners with them. I'm going to take a tour of their facility once I get through the Packers season. But they do phenomenal work, and they believe in their core values, which is really important. Those core values: integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. And they've been showing those in the industrial supply space for over 40 years. They're ISO certified. They're a Future 50 winner. They're top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies either. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better, so set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. I have a interloper here in the radio studio. Apparently, Sully really enjoyed his appearance on the show yesterday, so he's back for more. He usually doesn't come down here, so there he is right there. We need to get to Homer, who is also cute and cuddly. He's next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
We spent, well, not 3 hours with him yesterday, 2 hours and about 44 minutes. Then he had to go be Uber driver for his grandson. Didn't even get to say goodbye based on the timing, which is par for the course with this guy. You can hear Brian with him twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays, on the Homer Hour, the best 60 minutes of your day, allegedly. You can also hear him as the voice of Marquette men's basketball as the hoops season is upon us. And, of course, you can always catch him on God Talk, My Faith, with Homer and Pip on YouTube. It is the GOAT of Wisconsin Sports Talk Radio, Steve the Homer True. Homer, good morning. Long time no talk. How you doing?
Doing fine.
You have Brian on Mondays when I think you have Rob Domofsky join you, and then you have him on Thursdays when I join you. You call him the professor. When did that start?
I have no idea. When I realized that, and maybe I should always realize this about a good NFL player, is that he was really smart and a student of the game. It was when he decided, or when he told me he watches the games twice. I will never understand that, given his knowledge of the game. I don't see any reason he can't see all that he needs to see the first time, And when he said he watches it the second time, I said, well, then he's clearly taking this to another level. So that earned him the doctor. When he stops watching it a second time, I will no longer call him doctor.
Wow, well, you lose your doctor.
Yeah, as I've told Homer, I just want to make sure when we discuss certain players and certain things, and I just want to make sure that I'm accurate on what I'm talking about, right? Like, if someone's struggling, or we think someone's underperforming, or we think something's happening, I just want to make sure that what we're talking about is true. Like, I'm watching it and I'm seeing what, if we're going to talk about someone specific or a certain part of the offense or defense or something, that you watch it and you're seeing, like, what we're seeing is true, right? There's not other factors to it or something. You just want to be for sure what you're talking about, right? Like, that to me, because being in the seats of the guys that we're speaking of, right? Like, that was the thing that I always, you'd get asked questions weekly, which is fine. Like, right, we should be criticized if we perform badly. Like, that's the way it goes, right? Like, you play bad, you get asked, why did you play bad? I get it. But sometimes there are factors that many may not know why something happened, or maybe it didn't look that way, or it looked a certain way and it wasn't your fault. And that's why I just like to watch it from the All-22 side to kind of see what happened. And that's the only reason why I watch it twice, because I like to break things down in a certain manner, and I like to look at it in a different angle.
And we're better for it, thanks to you. So thank you for your service.
Like Homer telling me that the run game doesn't matter on Monday. Like,
what?
That's why I like to watch. That's why I like to watch the tape.
Did you really say that the run game doesn't matter?
I said relative to the game against Pittsburgh. Brian was very high on his list, and I said, here's what they did in the second half. Touchdown, 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 and field goal. I said, you, an offense does like that, I ain't worrying about the run game after that game. So
I agree with you during that game that the run game, I get it.
But you're still worried about the running game and Jacob.
Yes, in long term. As we continue on here, I'm worried about it. If that's what we continue to see, yes.
And the performance of that run game against Pittsburgh did draw your attention.
Yes, it did. It's because, like, when our lead back gets 33 yards in a game, it certainly does draw my attention. Yes, it does. Okay. I mean, there's no doubt about it that when our lead back, who last year, Jason, or maybe even you, Homer, you guys could, I think, averaged 4.6 a carry or roughly that. I don't know the exact number.
So
carry
last season. And by the way, you can't say after that game that the run game means nothing, because they got significant production out of Emmanuel Wilson, who once again showed that he is an underrated player. Last year, Josh Jacobs, who finished with 1,329 yards, averaged 4.4 yards per carry. Emmanuel Wilson, who had 500 yards, by the way, averaged 4.9. As a team, they averaged 4.7 yards per carry on the season.
Yeah. So, like, when I see the stat line of 33 yards from Jacobs, I get a little, I get a little antsy. That's all I'm saying. I just get a little nervous about it. That's all I was saying on Monday. I'm not saying that, the way they performed on Monday through the air is, listen, you win a game that way, I'm with you, Homer. You win it through the air, you win it through the air. I'm all for it. Listen, that's the way that game went. But there's going to be days where you can't win it through the air and you're going to have to be able to run it. And if you can't run it and you can't throw it, well, it looks like Cleveland. And that's what I'm concerned about, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. And I conceded defeat in the argument, which should also be mentioned.
Well,
thought.
There's no defeat. It's just, I'm just trying to make a point. I was just trying to make a point. There's no defeat.
I know.
I mean, I was just, I mean, I'm just trying to make a point. But in, I guess I look at, you go into this week, do you think this week, do you look at this week kind of like the Cleveland week? Do you think that this is like a trappish type game? Do you look at this like the Cleveland game, or is this completely different?
Well, it's at home. Like, I don't know. I mean, I've moved on. This is a very good team. They should make the NFC Championship game, and now it's just to watch to see if they do that. I don't over-focus on one game. If they lose to Carolina, that would be horrific because they're at home and Carolina's terrible. But even that wouldn't change my view of the team. They showed me what I needed to see in the second half against Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh's defense, pass defense, is horrible. So they did, but they showed the defense they can be and show with Parsons, and they showed the offense. They now have a star in Tucker Kraft. We know that. So this team is good. Let's go. Let's roll it out. I want to give Goody and LaFleur a one-year extension right now so that if it doesn't go as well as I expect, it doesn't matter. I want them to roll it out and do it again next year. Let's go. That's where I am. A loss to Carolina would surprise me, but not change my opinion of this team at all.
Yeah, did I hear this correctly, that you already have the Packers at 6-1-1?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The homer standard just went over. Yeah. They've already won the game. That's correct. And you say, why do you do these things? I do these things so that people understand how horrific and terrible it would be if they lost. They need to understand the degree of confidence, and Brian can talk about this, when they played certain teams when his team was good. You understand and respect everybody in the NFL. But at home, there's no way that you should lose this game, in addition to the effect you would hope Pittsburgh would have. There, as another person said, they're an ascending team. So, yes, that this would be, you know, this would be losing to the Titanic after it's already on the bottom of the ocean. Can't happen.
They're 4-4. They're not 0-8.
That's correct. Excellent point. You would not join my club. You think I'm not giving the appropriate amount of respect to Carolina. That's understandable. I don't assume everybody's going to agree with me.
You know what this game kind of reminds me of?
My view of the Packers at home.
Is Andy Dalton, you know, starting for them again this week?
Possibly, yes.
You know what this reminds me of? I think they were even better when we played them. I believe the year was 2014, Jason. You may have to check me on the year. And they had Cam Newton at quarterback, and Carolina came to Green Bay, and I think they were better. And we ran Carolina out of the building by the start or the middle of the third quarter.
It was 2014. 38-17 was the final, but I believe they got some garbage time scores late.
Yeah.
Cosmetics.
And they were better, and they had Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis and that whole team. And, like, that to me is where I kind of agree with Homer on this. Like, this is the way this Packers team should be now behaving, playing teams like this at home. Right? Like, they should be going into these games. Yes, you respect every opponent. Yes, they have good players, but, like, you go play these types of teams at home, the expectation is we're going to run them out of here. Like we have to run them out of here. Because we saw, like, Cincinnati, if you allow teams to hang around too long, you don't like the result at the end. But then we're talking about it on Monday, and then Homer's talking about it on the post game. It wasn't this or that, right? So, like, you have to start treating and expecting this team, the Packers, that they're performing to a certain level. And Homer said it, the way the defense did it on Sunday night and the way the offense picked it up in the second half. Like, that's what we should expect. At least I think so, right? The way they performed.
Mm-hmm.
That second half performance was, I mean, I think we can expect that, right? That should be the way, like, that should be what the Green Bay Packers look like, right?
Right.
I mean, at least I think so.
And you've got LaFleur still talking about sloppy they were, which feels a lot different than when he was talking about how sloppy they were late in the season, because that was, I'm really pissed because we are sloppy. This feels more like, hey, we played really well, but I want to keep getting after these guys, so I'm going to say it was sloppier than it was. Or did you see it as sloppy when you watched the film twice, Doctor?
Well, I think the first half was sloppy.
Yeah,
I think the first half was sloppy. I think the first half was sloppy, right? I mean, they didn't do much offensively in the first half besides a drive, right? And I think defensively, well, they weren't bad defensively. I think Aaron and the Pittsburgh offense, I think they played fairly decent in the first half against Green Bay's defense, to be honest with you. I mean, you look at it. So if he wants to say sloppy, he's probably referring to the first half of that game. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the second half, and it's a completely different team in the way they played. So, like, yeah, I mean, if he's going to say sloppy, he's going to refer to the first half of the game, and that's what they're going to look at. They're going to look at the first half and criticize the team in film on based on that, right? Like, and that's good, right? You have a good win, a great win, but then you have something to criticize and correct the team on that's positive and constructive, and you can carry that momentum. So I think that's good, at least in my opinion. So I want to ask Homer, too, and Jason, you kind of talked to me about it with Golden and kind of, you know, what's going on with that, right? Like with and Homer's probably not going to be up on this, too, like I'm not. I don't really pay attention to this as much either with the deactivation of the Instagram stuff. Like, I don't really care much about that, as I doubt mm-hmm. Homer does either. But in your opinion, Homer, like, you and I both agree. We talked about it Monday, and Jason agrees that, like, Tucker Kraft should probably and is, like, the guy this thing runs through, right? Like, we can agree on that, right?
Yeah, well, I defer to you because you've been in the middle of it when a coach says one thing, but you know the reality of the other thing. Like, I think he is the guy. The number of times they've targeted the last couple games tells me that even when he said, well, we do this in order, they aren't. He's had an incredibly high number of targets the last two games. I did want to mention about what LaFleur said, because I don't think I can coach an NFL team, but I think I can give good speeches. All right, here's what I say when we get on Monday. All right, the team is down there, and I go, I don't get this. Like, you guys were incredible the second half, 28-3. You kicked their butt. Would someone please stand up here and explain to me how you could be so bad the first half? How does that happen? I don't get it, and I guess it's on me, but feel free to stand up and explain how you can be so good in the first half and so terrible in the so good in the second half and so terrible in the first half. Now, Brian Bulaga, do you think a coach would ever do that? Because I think it's brilliant. And would anybody stand up? And what's the answer of players? Because that's a legitimate question that he has. Like, I guess you guys are capable of losing to an eighth grade team for a half and then play like you're the Super Bowl champs in the second half in the same game. How does that happen? Well, Doctor,
yeah, I mean,
would any coach ever do that?
I don't think I don't think they would do that. I mean, at least I'd never heard that. I mean, okay. They would probably stand up and they would probably say, like, we were really bad in the first half. Probably wouldn't ask people's opinion on why they were. But, I mean, I think the overall, you know, the feeling would be like it was an emotional game for both sides, obviously, and Pittsburgh was going to come out at home, and okay. You were going to get their best shot for the first 30 minutes of that game. Like, you were going to get everything that they could give for the first 30, and if they were able to, like, get an overwhelming lead, like, that's by, like, a touchdown or two, you could potentially be in trouble, right? Like, that could be the way it goes, and they can ride that momentum. Well, Green Bay didn't allow that, right? They kept that thing super tight and super close, didn't allow too many momentum shifts in it. And Green Bay did what they did, and they just overtook it in the second half. Like, that's the kind of way I look at games like that. They didn't play well, but you have to imagine when you go into that type of environment with Aaron and everything surrounding the game, you're going to catch the team's best shot, the home team's best shot for the first 30 minutes of the game. And that's why it's going to be like that to start. Not saying gives an excuse for your team to not perform up to a certain standard, but that's going to be the way it's going to go on the road. And you just have to kind of accept the ebb and flow of that game to start, right? Like, to me, that's the way I would look at that. But I guess what I wanted to get to is, like, do you think that Golden, and this is me, because I think very highly of the kid. I think the kid's going to be really good, and I'm not going to sit here and say you got to force feed him, because I think that's not the right way to go about it. But I with the thing with the Instagram, again, like, I don't follow it much, but clearly he's not thrilled. He's not, like, the most excited kid in the world right now, and I understand that, and he's not getting targeted a bunch. The other rookie gets his first touchdown. He still hasn't found pay dirt yet. Like, you know, I understand there's maybe some frustrations. If you're LaFleur, like, how do you kind of balance that out in the locker room right now? How do you – or not in the locker room, really, with him? A young guy, you don't want him to get down. You know, you want him to stay engaged, and you want him to be what everyone thinks he is, like a great player. I think he's a great player. I think he can be a star. But how do you make sure that you keep everyone, as Jason has said, mouths fed? Man, this is – with Watson coming back.
It's amazing you ask me. You played in the league. I mean, I'm going to ask you, like, because I don't have any difficulty. I'd ask you. Do you ask the position coach? I don't know that it's up to the head coach, but that's easy. I mean, whatever you call him, like, look, you're a star. You're a future star. You're a part of it, but you're a rookie. All right, you're just not going to get that many. You're not going to get that many targets. But I know there's going to be a game when you have two catches for 80 yards, 90 yards. I mean, I don't know what to say. I don't deal with the Instagram. That's up to you, whatever and how you do social media. But I'm just telling you the reality, and you're a rookie, and we got a lot of really good players here that are older, and you're not going to get that many targets. So you're going to determine if it's two catches for 100 yards or whatever based on how you run every play you're in there. And I got to go to McDonald's and use my app. So talk to you later, Rook. I don't know. What? Brian, you've dealt with this. Wide receivers can be incredible. I don't know, even when they're young. Are they crazy? Are they even the craziest positions where they just have these egos that are just out of control, and you have to treat wide receivers differently? But it would take me 30 seconds to explain to Golden just what I said, the reality. And I don't have to say grow up, but, hey, welcome to the NFL.
No, and I think this is different because, as Jason kind of said earlier in the show, in my experience there was always a clear-cut top dog number one, and there was no questions asked. It just was the way it was. There was right. Never a doubt who the one was and who the two was. It just was always that way.
But I don't think
there
was ever a rookie number one, right? And all that, there was never a rookie number one. Right. No one would have come in and thought, as a rookie, they're going to be number one.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, like, it would have been like a Jordy or a Greg or Devontae would have taken that rookie in, and if he was upset about something, they would have had a talk with him. Like, hey, like, they would have spoken to him after a game like this where he might have thought he should have had this or that, and there would have been a conversation, or there's expectations, right? And there's certain things that those older guys, like, I'm talking the veteran true number one guys, they take these guys under their wings, and they're able to have conversations with them and make sure that they, you know, understand how things go. Because, like, I understand that, like, Christian Watson's been in the league a while, Dobbs has been in the league a while, but they're not, like, 8 or 7 or 8 year guys, like, year guys, right? Like, they're still trying to figure things out for them. Christian Watson's first game back from an ACL, right? He's getting his, you know, bearings back as well right now. Like, Dobbs is playing for a new contract,
right?
Like, these guys are all, you know, fighting for financial, you know, stability for themselves as well. So, like, this is kind of like what makes this whole situation a little fluid, right? I mean, it makes this whole thing a little the dynamic of this wide receiver room and skill position, like, very fluid, right? And I mean, Tucker Kraft hasn't been paid yet either. So like, you look at the whole thing, and it's like a true number one is, like, it's identified, right? Like, it is clear as day identified. And that's not the case here. Like, so, you know, who is the guy? I look at it right now as Tucker Kraft. Like, that to me is who it is. Like, that's the guy it works through, and everyone else it gets it's broken out of that, right? It works through him, and then it gets levied out through there. But to me, it's just, I think Golden, and now you get Watson back on the field, the threat that those two bring together with a guy like Tucker Kraft that is so good, that could be such a threat through the middle of the field. Then you have Dobbs, who's such a possession-based guy, and now Wicks, and then when Reed gets back, they're so they all have such nice skill sets and what they do differently, but they all can't be on the field at once. And that's where this becomes a tricky issue, right? Like, remember that ESPN cover? Yeah.
Now, Brian, I want to tell you one thing. I have stayed on the show longer, and then Jason can attest to this because I got to go.
He's just going
to
leave. Yeah.
And I don't want you to think that I'm shortchanging you. Jason, is it correct that I've stayed on longer today than
you?
You
have, and we appreciate that. Go take care of your grandson's transportation. You finish your thought, though, because I know where you're going, and it's a really good one. So forget Homer. Finish your thought.
Yeah, I was going to say, if everyone remembers that ESPN cover that Aaron had with all the wide receivers on it and the tight ends, what year was that, Jason? Was that back in...
It was Sports Illustrated. Because I think, didn't he do one for ESPN with you guys on it to like make up for the fact that you guys got left out of the Sports Illustrated cover? I think so.
2011, I think, was the year.
2011 was definitely the wide receivers with J. Mike and Jordy and Driver and all those guys. Yes, correct.
Yes. If everyone remembers that magazine, that had more talent on that magazine cover than one could imagine. We're talking young Randall Cobb, James Jones, Driver, Jennings, if I'm not mistaken, Jordy Nelson, JerMichael Finley. Like, I mean, it was stacked with talent. But the thing is, you can't get everyone the ball. They all couldn't be on the field at the same time. So, like, this isn't the first time this has happened in Green Bay where there's a ton of talent and there's not a, like, you have to find ways to make everyone feel like they're part of it. Now, what happened the year after? You know, pieces start to go their own way, right? But that year was a very successful year offensively for the team. I mean, a lot of yards, a lot of production, and obviously how that all went is what it was. But it's not the first time it's happened. So when everyone's healthy again, it will be very interesting how Matt coordinates this and how he does it and how the personnel packages get done. Because at the end of the day, you still have a running back in the backfield too that is also a very important piece that does require carries. So it will, and that wasn't really a big thing for us in 2011, was running the football. Let's just be real. Running the ball was not a big thing. We'd maybe run the ball 10, 11 times a game, maybe, and throw the ball 30 plus. So let's just be real. There was a lot of throwing, not a lot of running. It's vice versa here. I wouldn't say it's 50-50, but it's probably 60-40 right now. So Matt's going to have to figure that out when all these guys are healthy and how to, like you say, keep all the mouths fed. And that's going to be difficult.
And in fairness, we don't know if Matthew Golden specifically is unhappy or not. Okay. This is based on tweets and what social media account is, we don't know any of that, okay? So
no,
I don't
no.
want it to sound like we're accusing Matthew Golden of being a malcontent. What I'm saying is that the challenge is to, because look, Matt LaFleur believes in this, okay? I'm not stirring the pot. Matt LaFleur believes that, like the old Successories poster that says team, together, everyone achieves more. He believes that. Like, he wants to keep all these guys happy. And you can say that that's a flaw in his coaching mentality if you want. Like, if you want to criticize him for that, go right ahead. But the bottom line is that this is important to him. And I think he cares about making sure everyone's involved. So I don't have any evidence that anyone specifically is disgruntled, but I do know that that is a balancing act that he's going to have to deal with, especially now with Tucker Kraft's emergence. All right, we got more ahead. Thanks to Homer. We always enjoy his visits. Believe it or not, we still have a segment left in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always. All right, we need to get back on the clock. We got a lot to get to, including trivia, Whoa Nelly, etc. But I have located on eBay for the low, low bargain price of $9.99. You can own ESPN the magazine from September 17th, 2012. With Aaron Rodgers and his Corey Linsley-style mustache, surrounded by TJ Lang, Jeff Saturday, Josh Sitton, the aforementioned Marshall Newhouse, Evan Dietrich Smith, and of course, Brian Bulaga, Iowa. So get your bids in. Derek, who was the guy they drafted after the year after? Derek Sherrod is also on there. It was one of the few times he was seen in his star-crossed Packers career.
Ouch.
But you guys look like badasses, I got to tell you. And it's not nearly as popular as that Sports Illustrated cover with all the skill position guys. Typical for poor offensive linemen. All right. We need to get to...
In fairness, they didn't go 15-1 that 2012 year.
Also, that's a good point. But come on. We know how this works. Brian's been an offensive lineman for enough of his life to know how this works. And I've been with Associated Bank long enough to know that they are the best in the business. They've got all the awards to prove it for their customer service. Whether you're a Packers fan, a Badgers fan, or a Brewers fan, you can get checking that you're going to love with your favorite team on it. I just have the Associated Bank logo because that's the team I like. And, of course, they've also got early pay, they've got credit monitoring, and they've got fraud protection, so you know you are always in good hands. Go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.